to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Life happens.
You're classy, because you know most people don't use the life word, they use the S word. So it's so wonderful to have you here all the way from Georgia, Dr. Sue.
Thank you so much. I am so blessed and excited to be here.
I'm honored. I am so honored. You know, I just think that you are a striking beauty. You got so much class and wisdom. So I'm happy to introduce you here on the Edge. Oh, yes, Brains. Another day. Another fantastic guest. Yes.
We
are here. That's right. We are here and we are doing big things. We have Dr. Sue Carter Collins from Georgia. She is a metaphysical spiritual life coach. Metaphysical. That's a big $25 word. You know, I hit you with them $25 words. I wanted to define that for us. And she's also an author, she's a speaker, and an energy healer. And, you know, Brains, this is going to be a very interesting conversation because she's going to be able to talk to us from dual perspectives. You know, she used to work in the criminal justice system, in the prisons. Right, was straight up criminal, hardcore. So I want to ask her, and I want to understand how she is able to take all that she has learned from the psyche of those individuals and from the psyche and the stress that is put on her, but also there's some joy. You know, everybody in jail is just really not a monster, okay? And able to take that, transfer it into a metaphysical, spiritual life coach career now. That's a big shift. So without further ado, Brains, I want you to get ready to welcome my beautiful guest, Dr. Sue Carter Collins. Hello, how are you, beautiful?
I'm well, how are you?
I can't complain. It's a new year with new opportunities. I was up this morning, you know, planting some new seeds and pulling out some old weeds, if you know what I mean.
Just get into this.
You have to edit and filter. You really do. Show us a copy of your book. I have my book. I got it yesterday in the mail, and I didn't get an opportunity to bring it. So, yes, I want you to put that, yes, yeah, so everyone can see that, okay? Return to self. Tell us who yourself is, Dr. Sue.
Well, what people know about me is what you've said in terms of being a metaphysician, a spiritual life coach, and having had actually more than 45 years of experience in the criminal justice system, starting as a correctional officer, being a deputy sheriff, and working up to being a legal advisor for a large metropolitan police department. But what they don't know about me, and the reason I became interested in criminal justice in the first place, is that my father went to prison when I was just about a year old for murder. And that is what caused me to, as I grew older, because he wasn't there, then I didn't understand what kind of system this was, right? That could separate children from parents. And so I became interested in criminal justice and spent all those years in various capacities, including being an attorney, a prosecutor, and a defense attorney. And yes, you're right. There are a lot of people in the system, and they're good people like you and me. Life happens.
But you know, a transition happens too when you're caged like an animal.
Yes.
You don't have the opportunity to be rehabilitated when you are separated from your family. I had a great guest. She won my Edgy Award last year, CCS View. She was in solitary confinement for 2 years. She told me they never turn the lights off. Never turn the lights off. So it messes with your psyche. I've got a nephew right now that has mental challenges, but he's been in and out his entire life. And when he got out, he didn't even know how to use a mailbox. So, you know, in this system, with these individuals, you know, do you think that there's ever a breakthrough or an opportunity for them to connect, you know, just really with humanity and society? Or do you find that they're, you know, they're bitter and they're hard because of the life that they've lived as, you know, a caged animal almost?
Well, I actually think that the attitude or perspective they have, and whether there's an opportunity or a likelihood, let's say, that they will be not rehabilitated, but habilitated, depends on what happens even before they go in. you know, the society that we live in is not a society that is supportive of certain classes of people. And so before they go into the prison system, they already have 9, 10, 15 strikes against them. Mm-hmm. And then the prison system isn't set up in a way to habilitate individuals. They don't have the programs. And to the extent that they have resources, they don't choose oftentimes to use them to be supportive of the individuals, of the inmates, because many times even the people who are in charge of the prison don't see the inmates as being human. They don't see them as being worthy or deserving. I mean, just think about it. Why? How can you even think that you can rehabilitate a person or habilitate them if you keep them in solitary confinement for?
Right. Well, and then you think that, you know, that they've murdered someone. Sometimes it's self-defense. I see some of these criminal cases, some of these women that have killed, you know, someone that has had sex trafficking them, and they've been in jail, and their whole paradigm shifts with regards to life. So you leave this environment, you leave this, you get your doctorates, you're very smart, and so now you go into the realm of metaphysics. What drew you there?
Well, in between the two, I actually went into academia. And so I was there for 15 years as an associate professor, not in the system, but now teaching about the system. But I tell you how it is that I got to metaphysics. There were, over the course of my life, I had what I thought were supernatural experiences, except at that point, I didn't know that word supernatural. I also didn't know the word metaphysics. And mostly, I just knew that things were happening. I didn't want to be crazy. I didn't want to be crazy. So I didn't tell anybody about it.
What's happening? Because, yeah, because when you tell folks, they be looking at you like, I know some stuff. Yeah, they be looking at you like, at a side eye. It's like, yeah, what you been smoking or drinking or whatever. It's like, no, I see this. When God talks to me, he sits right there. He taps me, calls me baby. He talks right on my shoulder. There is no misunderstanding about that. You know, I can smell crazy coming up out the ground. Okay. So when you know these things, you know what you know, but when you don't know what you don't know. So when you had this realization, tell me a couple of the crazy things that was happening to you, or what was perceived as crazy things.
Well, one of the first things that happened is that I had been studying for my law exams, and I had been up like 24 hours almost, and I was getting ready to take the exam, and I sat on the floor and just kind of I was really stretching. I didn't know anything about yoga or anything. I'm just stretching. And I began, as I went into this meditative state, I began to see these little things coming up from the floor, from my feet. I'm sitting in the yogic position, right? And I see these things coming up, and I realized, no, first I saw what appeared to be fire, flames, just coming all the way up. And then I saw when it came down, I thought, oh, that's water. Oh, and then I saw these little white birds coming up from my feet. And even in this meditative state, I'm trying to figure it out. What is it? And then I realized, oh, it was I was having a converging experience.
Right.
I was really connecting with source, but probably even though I had been baptized at age 12, connecting with source for the first time in my life.
Hallelujah, girl. I know. I remember the first time I got the Holy Ghost, I felt like somebody had opened the top of my head and poured water and just flushed you down, and I passed cold out. Mm-hmm. You can believe that if you want to. I don't care, but I know when you know. And the second time, I felt like you. I felt like I was on fire. Mm-hmm. I was on fire. So these things really, really happen. So instead of actually taking it to a quote-unquote religious perspective, Baptist, Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, Mormon, whatever, you took it to a metaphysical realm. Why and how?
I took it to a metaphysical realm because since I was a kid, I had been trying to understand the religious thing. I've been Baptist, Methodist, Primitive Baptist. I've been everything other than Catholic. I've been looking.
Right.
I would talk to people about God. I said, well, where is God? And they would, have you ever noticed that they look up to the sky, people.
Right. What you looking for?
That's it. That is, girl, you got it. That is it exactly. I said, well, where's God? And they go, look up. And I look up too, and it's like, what you looking for? I don't see anything up there. And they said, well, God is up there.
Right.
And I'm pointing, and they're pointing up toward the sky. I just see clouds, girlfriend. I don't see nothing but clouds. It's like, what's up there? So those, I had been having those experiences since a little kid. It didn't make sense to me. I remember though having seen the Ten Commandments. Remember the movie, The Ten Commandments?
Right.
Where it says that God called out to Moses and Moses turned aside to see the bush that burned but was not consumed. And then it said something about there being, that Moses said, let me look on your face. And God said, no man can look upon my face and live. So he showed him the essence of him. And it was this brilliant light, right? Well, that was, even as a kid, I always saw God in the brilliant light. I never saw God having any of the characteristics of a human, right?
Right.
Now, talk to folk about that, and I'm going to get real here. Can I get real?
Girl, that's what we do on the edge.
Hey, talk to Black folk about God not being.
Okay.
Or
you know what, and I'm going to say, when I talk to white folks about God being Black, they just turn inside out. Nobody really knows what God looks like. God is omnipresent. God is you. God is me. God is the waters, the birds, the skies. God is everything, and it is metaphysical. It is energy. And once we connect with that, Michelangelo, bless his heart, you know, he painted the ceilings in the only image that he knew of white people and white angels. He didn't know that.
Exactly.
You go to the Vatican, and the Pope bows down to a Black Madonna and child. So what is it? And, you know, folks are so caught up in this color stuff. That's that trickery, okay? All you brains that's listening, you better really try to edit and filter that, because that is so old.
It is an illusion.
Exactly.
It's an illusion.
It is a diversion, okay? People want you tricked up. I'm not going to be an angry Black woman about something that happened 45, 50 years ago. Civil rights was handed to me. Somebody come at me twisted, that's a teachable moment.
Mm-hmm.
That is a God moment. That is a time for us to really connect spirit to spirit. But again, I don't want to be translucent. I don't want people to not see color. I want to honor your space. I want to honor where you are. So in your teaching and in your philosophy as a metaphysical spiritual life coach, tell me what that looks like. Draw me a picture.
Okay. I believe that there's only one. And that we all are that one. There are many paths to get to that one, but there's only one creator.
Mm.
Energy.
Yeah.
God has no human form. Even when scientists examine trees, they find the energy of life.
Right.
When they examine rocks, they find the energy of life. When they examine the earth, it is the energy of life. It is that same energy and the same elements that make up all of that, makes up the universe, makes up each of us. So I believe that we are one. And that's the perspective that I begin from. And I think that just kind of shifting and moving the conversation along a little bit, all of what we've just been talking about, the differences that people focus on, is because they don't understand the oneness of who we are. God is so multifaceted. You can think of God as being like a tapestry, and we are all aspects of the tapestry, different yet the same.
Exactly, so, and we are all woven together differently with different patterns,
yes.
Different textures, different sizes, different shapes, different colors, and that is what makes it beautiful. If not, we would all be mechanical animals, which, you know, with this artificial intelligence coming up, that's what it's going to be anyway, okay? So when you get together, how do you bring people into the fold? And I'm going to talk to my Black folks right now, because they're not going for this. If it's not hallelujah on Sunday, you know, you know, getting there shouting, screaming with the tambourine, playing the music, and the preacher giving you the word, his interpretation of the word. How do you reach that group? How do you reach that population to expose them to something a little bit deeper?
Well, right now, I haven't been very successful because I talk spirituality and they talk religion. I talk about oneness and they talk about this particular group and that particular group. And so I have, one of the things that as I am learning, I have to learn to not change who I be, but match their language.
Right.
Because here's the thing, and I just had a little chat with God about this, and God said that I've got diverse institutions and diverse individuals because they're diverse members of my flock. Mm. And not all of us vibrate at the same energetic level, and so we can't feed from the same trough. Mm. But there are people, the people that I work with are people who have some, they've already begun the awakening process, because I believe that I have not been called to say, open your eyes, but there are people who have been called for that. I have been called, as your eyes begin to open, I say, let me show you a few things. Let me teach you a language. Many of my clients come to me by word of mouth because somebody has had a phenomenal life-changing experience. And even when they come to me, they're talking God and Jesus. And I don't have a problem with that. I grew up with that, right?
Right.
That's who I be. But my understanding is so much broader, right? And so what I do is take them from that point to a higher point. But I do so with grace and ease, because it's not my job to force feed anyone. I give perspectives. I give information. I support you. I give you references and resources. And I use, honestly, one of the big things that I do, I'm a psychic. Now, don't y'all tell anybody that. So when I am coaching with clients, many times I'll say, hold up. And I actually connect. I connect with source. And then I'll say, well, this is what I'm hearing for you. And so that's kind of a lot of the fuel that I use to move my coaching session along. And then what happens is that the individual, when their life changes based on what they see, because they got to see it to believe it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
When they're like,
wait. Let's pump our brakes. Because a lot of folks are seeing a lot of stuff right now and they still not believing it. So, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a perception of reality. You know, I was at an event and it was really strange. You went up to this board and you put all these questions and then you broke off into groups and you answered the question. And my question was, what would the world be like if we all told the truth? Girl, I think there was like 45 people in my group, right? And then when we got in the group, we broke it off and they said, I asked them, I said, okay, what is fact and what is fiction? I could not believe that at least 30 of those people had a different definition for what their reality is. So your reality is not that this is a cup, that this is Dr. Sue, that this is April, but it is what you perceive it to be. It's what you conjure up in your mind. Brains, you better get clear.
And I just want to build on that and refer to my book, because The Return to Seth, interesting title, right? Title Bob gave me. And I was at a point where I was still trying, I left academia. I had been called to write the book. Didn't know exactly what it was going to be, but I got the title, right? So first God gave me the title, and then he started to give me information. The Return to Seth is all about us demasking, taking off all of the BS that we have put on, believing that it is who we be, taking it off, and so we can get back to our real self, right? Because think about it. When you come into this world, you don't know, you don't have the labels. But even before you come into the world, people begin to label you. And the first chapter in my book talks about before you arrive in the world, you are a baby. Baby has a certain connotation. You are black. You are female. And it's like they began to put all of these things on you. And by the time you are 7 years old, your mindset has been set. When I'm working with my clients, many times I will find that something very traumatic happened to them between age 1 and 7, and it set them for life. And so I'll ask them oftentimes at this point, so when I get them to understand that the person that they're being may be the 2-year-old, you may be responding to this as your 2-year-old self rather than your 30-year-old self or your 40-year-old self. It is amazing how they do, how that in itself is transformative. So return to self is about demasking, taking off the layers, getting back to that point as close as you can of to or your origin when you didn't have all those beliefs. You weren't restricted by all of those labels, but then you get to decide who you be.
Because it's a learning. It is a learning. Again, I had another great guest on my show to talk to me about gender identity. You know, I was asking her, what is the LGBTQ plus? What is the plus? She said that your sexuality is between your legs. Your gender is between your ears.
Yes, absolutely.
So until you pull back the layers and find out who you are, or like you say, who you be, you're lost in self.
Absolutely.
And then a lot of people are afraid of their subconscious mind. That's 95% of who you are, brains, that you don't even know. That's 6-7 other people, you know? And, well, and you don't even tap into that. Okay, so now you are working with, you know, these transformative individuals that are ready to take it to the next level. You're being met with a little bit of resistance. Because people are not aware, they're ignorant. And ignorance just means not knowing. It's not a dirty word. Look it up, okay? So they're not aware of the process, but there is a fear there, okay? Because, you know, metaphysical, as they talk, they thinking that that's the devil. Yes. They thinking that it is, you know, some hoo-hoo. Maybe they thinking it's a cult. They don't understand what that is. What would you say to that person when if they want to step out and try it?
Well, first thing, I usually don't use the word metaphysical because most people don't understand what it means.
Right.
But when I'm trying to break it down, I just say it's more than what you can see. That we have that saying, in, at least in my family, my mama would say, well, it's more than meets the eye.
Right.
And so metaphysical is that exists, that makes up this world that you can't see. It's the wind, which you can't see. What does the wind do, right? The wind is energy. It is what propels the ocean. So I try to bring it to them in a way that they can understand. What can you relate to? And then I'll say, perhaps it has to do ultimately with faith, because faith is believing what you can't see and then having it manifest, right? We're always talking about manifesting, the law of attraction. So if you can't see it, but you believe what the law of attraction says, that is, it is already here, then what are you believing? That's the metaphysics of it.
See, you got that, brains? Okay. If you didn't, rewind it, because it is here and it's going to keep playing. It is, and manifestation is a thought process. It's this energy. And you can manifest some drama. Everybody thinks, oh, you know, I got a vision board, or I'm going to manifest this. You are going to attract whatever you tell yourself in your brain. Believe me, I could tell you, I could do a whole nother show on some things that I've manifested that would curl your afro, okay? So just understand that there are forces out there. Don't be brainwashed by people. If Dr. Sue and you have a meeting and you don't understand it, challenge, ask. There are other resources, there are other people. Ask God for your own experience, believe me. He will sit right next to you. You don't have to look up at the sky and try to find him, okay? He is right there where you be. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they want more information, if they want to connect with you, if they want to have that conversation, or if they're really ready to level up and grow. Now, one thing I do want to say, brains, is this is not anything to be combative in addition to your religion. We are not being disrespectful of anybody's belief, okay? It's like love. There's plenty of room for everybody. This is a caveat. This is a dessert after the entree, okay? This is something to elevate you and escalate you and awaken you to something in addition to your religious beliefs and doctrines, if you're open to it. If you're not, okay, we get that too. But for those of you that are, understand that we're not trying to be combative and we're not being disrespectful at all, because we love you. We've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt, okay? But we want you to be awakened to what we have been awakened to. We're trying to level you up. Now, if you want to take the elevator or the stairs, it's up to you. It's up to you. So tell them how to get in contact with you, Dr. Sue Carter Collins.
I will. Can I say something really quick?
Yes, please.
My best friend is a few years younger than I am, but I met her initially as my student. And after she had graduated, we became best friends, right? And so one day we were walking across the parking lot at my apartment complex. And I began to ask her about her spiritual beliefs. And she said to me, "Well, I believe in Jesus Christ." I said, "Well, I do too." I tease her about that. I tease her about that even now, because her spiritual gifts had not awakened at the time that we started.
Right.
But now,
Buddha, Allah, all of them work this earth. We're not denying any of that, okay?
More spiritually awakened than I am now sometimes. So, you know, I just wanted to share that with the audience, that this is not about who I believe in. This is about expanding. It's not about restricting. It's about expanding, because the more we know, the more we understand about the universe, the dimensions that we exist in, the interconnectivity of all that exists, the oneness of all that is, then the more we can do what my specialty at this point is in helping people to stop feeling like imposters, connect with your true self, your inner self, and embrace your greatness. Be the greatness that Source had for you to be, and Source by whatever name you call him, her, or it.
Yep.
That doesn't matter. So in terms of how to get in touch with me, I'm all over Facebook. Sue Carter Collins is my personal page. Dr. Sue Carter Collins is my professional page. I have just last week started a Facebook group under my professional page, which is Embracing Your Greatness Facebook Community. I would love for you all to come. It is for a certain kind of people. It's not, again, not to be combative. If you're ready to fight about this, I love you. God bless you. This is not the group for you. But if you want to expand your knowledge and create for yourself the best that you can be, come on in. Got something for you. And I'm going to do, next week I'm going to, under that same group, I will start a class that's called Magic Mindset, where we reset the brain, reset the mind, for those who are having difficulty really in connecting with the self and manifesting the greatness that we are all magnificent, but we have believed the stuff that society told us.
And they're so indoctrinated and ingrained in it that they are afraid to break out of it. But I'm telling you, it's like breaking out of jail. Hello, prisoners. I love y'all. But you can also incarcerated, break outside of the incarceration of your mind. There's been so many people that have come out that with law degrees and entrepreneurs and better parents, and you know, have been subjected to 30 and 40 years of incarceration for a crime they didn't even commit. Okay, so there is an opportunity to unlock the chains in your brain. And thank you so much for being here with us on The Edge. You are awesome sauce. You're gonna come back and talk to us. Show us that book one more time, Brains. I want you to run out. It's on Amazon, right, Dr. Sue?
On Amazon.
Okay. Turn it on just a little. It's got a little glare. There you go. There you go. All right, brains. Return to self and hurry up, because it's waiting for you.
Love y'all. Come on into the group.
That's right. I love you, brains. Have an amazing day.
Bye now.